whittle away at those, but I think as long as you stay true to the core tenets of what you're pushing for, it's okay for those ideas or those initiatives to meld into change as you learn your role and you adapt to that learning curve. Having been at Queen's for 6 years, I know me and my friends were just tallying it up, but I've worked, I think, 12 or 13 positions and odd jobs in volunteer areas here at Queen's. And I think you always go in and you're like, I'm going to do all of these really exciting things. And then you whittle it down to, actually, I just care about these three core tenets. And that's what I think I've tried to do with my platform is mentorship, professional development, and student engagement. Those can take so many forms, but those are at the core of what I will accomplish if I'm elected president. And I think that's also building off what's been done in the past, looking at articles and proposals and strategic plans and transition manuals and looking at all of the ways people have attempted things and trying not to duplicate, but really doing an assessment and seeing have circumstances changed in such a way that does make this possible and does make this feasible. And that's also why my platform focuses so much on collaborations and working with existing programs. So not necessarily creating a brand new mentorship program or a brand new speaker series, making sure that we say, these programs exist. How can the SGPS advocate for students' needs by getting them involved in existing programs so that students are excited to call the SGPS their student government and they can actually see changes being made, which also bolsters the programming and really exciting initiatives that other students are doing. If it's been said before, it means that it's important to students and we just have to find the right way to collaborate and make it happen.
All right. Thank you, Tatiana. Olivia, you can go ahead.
Thank you very much. I believe the first step to truly understanding the history of these issues is to have a big transition meeting with the current SGPS executive team, with the new SGPS executive team, so that everyone can sit down and understand everything that has been done within the past, I guess, year or year before, and so that we can see what has worked, what is in progress, and that way we can fully understand where to go next, whether that's scrapping an idea that we see not moving forward or bringing in new ideas, just so the incoming executive team is aware of what we're going into, and so that everyone is on the same page, leaving their role and going into their role.
Sakira, you can go ahead.
Thank you, Kennedy. I will say I've been in a fortunate position to have been able to work with two SGPS executives in my tenure as senator. However, being a senator is very different from being an SGPS executive. So I think that one of the things that I would do from my side is to be prepared with questions, obviously, during transition meetings, to question what has been done before and why have they not worked, why have they failed, or where is it that we need to continue with their initiatives and how to continue with them better, and also to look for opportunities and how we can build off of the initiatives that have also already been started. So I think that the learning never stops, and I would just really come in with questions and curiosity so that we can all serve students better. Thank you.
So the next question is, as student representative, you will directly or indirectly interact with Queen's administration. The administration has decided to ignore divestment questions, particularly pertaining to environmental and ethical investments. How would you push for these students' demands where a compromise can't be met, as in other instances? What will be your positions towards the already existing student-led initiatives and groups on campus? All right, Tatiana?
Yeah, I can tackle that question first. Thank you for participating in the debate. I think when it comes to environmental and ethical investments, I think students have a profound ability to lead by example. So, for example, in my experience right now, I'm the Tricolor Outlet head manager at the AMS, so very operations focused, a little bit outside of governance, but we're constantly thinking about how we can invest or like have more environmentally friendly things in store, how these can be more ethical, how they can be made in Canada, how they can support equity initiatives. So I think as students emphasize that they care more and more about these issues, and that becomes the standard on campus, administration really doesn't want to fight with students. Once that becomes the social standard, they'll kind of inevitably follow suit. And even if they do come from an adversarial position and want to argue with students about why they can or they can't, or what's constraining them and the budget and the deficit, these are all items that we've heard, and these are all things that we have already been told in the past. And I think that's our opportunity to say, this is what we're doing as student representatives and as students ourselves. We want to know what you're going to do to also work with us to represent students, because as I've said before, we have the same central goal of helping students shape their own experience here at Queen's and to remember Queen's fondly once they graduate. And the best way to do that is to make sure that we're on the same page. And once students make the change, administration really has no choice but to follow suit and to work together in some sort of collaboration for that.
Alexandra, we'll start with you.
Thank you. How I would deal with the administration ignoring divestment questions, for lack of a better term, I would be very annoying about it. I would bring it up every single chance I could get. It would stay on the agenda until there was a formally written reply and a timeline from the decision makers, because if it's important to students, it's very important that it gets brought up and that there is a response, because no response isn't acceptable if it's something that's important to students. And then if that doesn't work, I would use public accountability. So I would publish updates where possible on what was asked and what was ignored. At the end of the day, multiple voices are stronger than one. So I would kind of lean on that in part and let students know, be very transparent about what occurred in those meetings. And then going on to your second question about what my positions would be towards the already existing student-led initiatives, I think it's amazing when students lead initiatives and have the drive to make a school better. So I will always treat them as partners and help amplify their work. If it's important enough for you to begin an initiative, then it's important for me to support you in doing that. And I can help coordinate meetings, facilitate discussions whenever necessary, and protect your autonomy rather than taking over and making it my initiative. It's your initiative. You put all the work into it. I just want to help you make it the best that it can be at the end of the day, if I'm elected. Thank you.
All right. Sakura?
Thank you for the question. I'll start off with saying that it's important to realize that the fiduciary responsibility of running Queen's University lies with the Board of Trustees at the university. And we have graduate representation on the Board of Trustees as well. So I think the most important matter would be to make matters regarding financial stability at Queen's University more transparent and honest with students. Like I had said before, often we find ourselves unaware of exactly how governance works on Queen's, at Queen's University. So I think the first step would be to make these structures very palatable for students to understand, so we realize that who is in charge of academic decisions and who's in charge of financial decisions. So we are able to also design our own demands in a certain manner as well. As for my position towards already existing student initiatives and groups on campus, I think it's wonderful to see students be involved and engaged in matters of great importance, not just students, but humans across the world. And my approach would always to be open to dialogue and conversations and to help support all students on campus as best as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Sakura. We'll move on to Mary.
Thank you. I'll be very brief. Thank you for raising the question. I think it comes from a really important place. Just first of all, as far as positions go, I think I'm probably aligned with a lot of students in thinking that investments in oil and gas and weapons industries are like not aligned with the values of an academic institutions, and certainly not with my chosen profession of medicine. I hate to give a bit of a non-answer, but I want to treat this as an invitation. Also, I would really want to know what students who are working on these initiatives need. So even in this campaign period or later on, if or when I'm in the role, I would be very open to meeting with students working on these initiatives and understanding like how I can be supportive for your work within the scope of the role of the VP professional. Thank you.
All right, Olu.
Thank you very much. If you heard from me before, I told you I was president of Brandon University Student Union at the time. And I noticed one thing, that when administrators, when they ignore questions coming in from students, it's not because of they are not aware of what is happening. It's just because we don't have, that there's a lack of accountability and follow through or pressure. So my own approach will be to move this thing from being impossible to ignore. And how am I going to do this? I'm first of all going to make sure that the issues are unavoidably documented and we formalize them. I will submit formal written questions. I will motions. I will make sure they go through governance structures and, you know, like the SGPS Council, SGPS Senate, and SGPS committees. And I will ensure that these concerns are minuted, they're tracked, and they follow up. What again am I going to do? I'm going to raise environmental equity issues at decision-making stages. It won't be during information-only updates. I will use agenda-setting powers where available to make sure that these issues are formally discussed. And I'll push for clear actions items, not just for it to be discussed. And one thing I'm also going to do, again, to make sure that these issues are not ignored, is I'm going to mobilize collective student voice. You know, not isolated advocacy. You know, we will bring aggregated student concerns forward, supported by lived experiences and data. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Olivia?
Thank you very much. I can understand how it would be very frustrating for students' concerns and suggestions to not be met. And I would really hope to see myself standing by these students and helping them advocate, because ultimately the purpose of my role and my intentions are to do what is best for all graduate students, and I have the best intentions possible for my peers. So similar to what Alex was saying, I would help push and make their voices more clear and more heard to have their concerns addressed. And secondly, in terms of student-led initiatives, I admire these students greatly. I think it is amazing for students to have the courage to be passionate about something and to bring something forward to the Queens community. So I would see them as partners and people to work alongside with. And I would just want to amplify their voices within governance spaces and support their efforts and see their initiatives thrive at Queens. Thank you.
Thanks, Olivia. All right, we'll move on to this question that is for all the vice president roles. So given that each of you hope to represent distinct groups of students, that is the vice president professional represents professional students, and that the vice president graduate represents graduate students, to each of our candidates, how will you in your distinct role work to ensure all SGPS members' interests are represented? In other words, to the vice president professional candidate, how will you support graduate students? And to the vice president graduate candidates, how will you support professional students? Whoever wants to answer first, Olivia, you can go ahead.
All right. Hello again. So since I'm running for the VP graduate role, I'm in the stance of how would I support professional students. So I think what makes the SGPS executive team so amazing is that we're a big group of multidisciplinary positions where each student on the team is appointed to a different area of the graduate and professional community. So I would work alongside the SGPS professional member to understand the needs and concerns and suggestions for all professional students, not only the graduate students that I'm advocating for, but I think it's very important to be aware of every student's needs. And I love working a part of a team. I'm a great team member. I listen, and I just love to work with the, if elected, the SGPS VP professional to help advocate for professional students.
Thank you, Olivia. Sakura, you can go ahead.
Thank you, Kennedy. Great question, and it really, I'm really happy to answer this because I want to emphasize more than anything else that the executive team at SGPS, despite the name of our roles, is a team that works collaboratively and works together with each other. In that essence, as a VP graduate, I may be more in touch with the requirements and the needs for graduate students, But this is it would be a wonderful opportunity to work with the VP professional to understand what professional students on campus need as well. And like I also highlighted earlier, that I would want to increase more collaboration between graduate and professional students. So working together with VP professional would be the first step, working collaboratively. Also, we're all students in Queen's campus, and we all at certain level face similar challenges and difficulties, and we might have similar problems that we want to bring up to our executives at SGPS. In that capacity, I would work collaboratively with every other member of the executive, including the professional, in supporting all students. But the first step would be to understand and learn more about the challenges that specifically professional students face on campus and advocate for them as much as equally as I do for graduate students. Thank you.
Thank you, Sakira. Did any of the other candidates want to speak?
Thank you for that great question. Remember, I kind of answered this question initially, that I said, even though we're all graduate students, but we're diverse. The students are diverse, you know, academically, culturally, socially, and professionally. We have domestic students, we have international students, we have research and course-based graduate students. We have part-time and full-time learners. We have parents, we have those who are caregivers. And students at different stages of their graduate journey. So like I said initially, I believe unity does not mean uniformity. But how do we create the system and spaces where differences are respected and leveraged for collective strength? How will I do this? I'll focus, like I said, I'll definitely focus on three key approaches. Make sure I actively engage the departmental graduate councils, the cultural identity-based groups, international student association clubs, and equity-seeking communities to ensure that our perspective inform graduate society priorities. So we're not only listening during elections, but we're sustaining ongoing dialogue through town halls, through surveys, through open forums. Then again, I'm going to make sure that there is accessible and inclusive programming. Every student will be advocated for. And when we look at something, totally advocacy is rooted in equity and shared challenges. Our experiences are many. Many of our concerns intersect with funding, mental health, housing, supervision, career presentation. These are where all our concerns intersect. So how will I do? I will work to ensure advocacy efforts reflect these shared priorities while acknowledging how these may affect different groups. So ultimately, my goal as vice president will be to build the bridge across diversity by leading with empathy, transparency, and collaboration, and to ensure that every student graduate at Queen's feel they belong and have a meaningful voice in our collective graduate experience. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Did anybody else want to speak to that question?
Sure, Mary? I'd love to speak to it briefly. I think, so first of all, I think just because of the way that Queen's like defines professional students, I think a lot of the programs that are under like the graduate student definitions, I would consider kind of professional in nature. So first of all, I would love to work closely with the VP graduate to sort of lend, I guess, the professional student perspective if I could. And if we could find any sort of areas of collaboration, like I think a lot of the ideas that were mentioned today would be broadly beneficial to graduate and professional students. We have so many shared interests in terms of like housing, you know, mental health resources, food security, these types of things. So if we could be in like a close working relationship, I think we could get a lot more done together.
Thank you, Mary. If anybody whose question unfortunately was not able to get answered today, I encourage you to reach out to any of the specific candidates personally. Their platforms as well as their contact information can be found on the SGPS website under the elections candidate page. So the final question, and this is to all the candidates, will be, what are the fundamental structural changes you would like to see within SGPS, be it in its way of functioning, its democratic processes, or its position in relation to the school and students? How would you push for these changes to happen? Okay, we'll start with Sakira.
Thank you for that question. At this point, I'd like to bring up that we recently had a large structural change, which I think is an example of how we are able to grow, learn from our mistakes, or learn from the difficulties that we have faced as a graduate and professional student society, and really learn and put into perspective what we want, what changes we'd like to bring in. So recently we have incorporated a board for SGPS. And as I only say that as an example, that we are very capable of learning and growing and keeping in mind that as time goes by, we have to change our structures and our processes. One change I would like to see is SGPS be more present at a lot of the conversations that are taking place. For example, in faculty meetings or in graduate student councils, I would like to see SGPS be more present and be more engaged and involved with these conversations. And that is something that I would like to push for specifically in my role. If I do be elected as VP graduate, I would want to meet on a more constant basis with student grad councils, so students feel that they're able to reach out to me or speak to me with any issues that they're facing without having to wait for a monthly council meeting. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Akira. Any other candidates? Yeah, you can go ahead, Ulu.
Thank you very much. I noticed one thing that even though SGPS have committed people who have good intentions, but I know that the current structures currently do not consistently convert our priorities into the real influence. So one thing that I'm going to say, I notice also that SGPS is often consulted late in decisions making. You know, we're only told after key decisions have been taken, and this limits our influence as students, and it kind of creates the frustration that we're seeing. So what change will I want? I would definitely make sure that SGPS is involved earlier and more formally in all university decision-making. I was able to achieve this when I was president of Brandon University Student Union. There will be clear expectations for when and how student input must be considered. It's not, okay, we'll consider, no, we want the expectation. What do we expect? And then there must be written responses from university admins when our recommendations are rejected or when they are modified. And how will I push for this? I will definitely use existing governance bodies, the council, our representation, our standing committees, to make sure I formalize consultation timelines, and I will advocate for documented response requirements, and then publicly track these things, whether engagement is meaningful or whether it is merely procedural. Influence must come from our structure, not from goodwill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Olivia, you can go ahead.
Thank you very much for your question. If elected for SGPS VP graduate, I would ensure that SGPS is supporting students in all stages of their graduate career. That starts from entering graduate school, during, and afterwards, which ties into my main pillars of my platform in supporting students incoming and ensuring that SGPS is present on all platforms, from social media, in person, online, through emails, every aspect. And during, one of the main aspects that I believe and see personally to be hard during grad school is financial stress. So I want SGPS to be there for students to help reduce this financial burden and help alleviate all the stress and increase confidence in budgeting, financial literacy. And then moving into after grad school, I really want to promote career development to ensure students feel confident moving into their next career or professional school or wherever life takes them. I want students to know that it does not have to be a straight linear path. Success comes from many avenues, and it just stems from passion and happiness. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivia. Tatiana, you can go.
Thank you so much. So when we talk about structural changes, I think the SGPS can be the bridge between students and administration, between professional students and graduate students, and everyone there in between. And when we talk about our position in relation to students, if I could speak to every student, I would say that this is your experience. I've been incredibly grateful to this university throughout my 6 years here, being able to work here, put myself through school. I'm the first in my family to go to school, so it was always really daunting come here, and to be met with the overwhelming support here at Queen's is foundational to this experience. I think this university is like no other, where we are all supportive, we are all gunning for each other to succeed, and we're all excited to show up every single day. And I want the SGPS, in terms of its fundamental structure, to act as a bridge, whether it's students coming to us because they want to advocate for an issue they truly care about, whether it is an undergraduate student looking to a graduate student saying, I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know how to get there, can you help me? Or it's a graduate or professional student looking ahead saying, this career looks really scary, but I know it's what I want to do. How can you support me? How can I develop as a professional? How can I get ready for my career? Those are all bridges, and they're all bridges between students and their experience that the SGPS can help build. If you are going to shape your own Queen's experience, then the SGPS has your back. And that is the message I want to leave everyone with if I were elected president.
Thank you, Tatiana. Alexandra, you can go ahead.
Okay, I'll try to keep it short just so I'm hungry. I want to get dinner, and I'm assuming everyone else also wants to get their days continued. So my biggest thing that I would want to see change is, first and foremost, SGPS has so many amazing services in place right now. The problem is that not a lot of students know about them. And I know this from talking to students and from my own experience as a graduate student as well. And it's a shame because the services are for the students and they're not being used as much as they could be. So my biggest functional change would be to try to increase engagement with these services and increase accessibility to these services by introducing quarterly student check-ins, asking what service do you, or what services did you need and you wish you found out about sooner, and then making a commitment to increase engagement across social media platforms, on email, so that students know that these services exist and to kind of bridge that gap. And yes, that's it.
Thank you. That is the end of the candidates' debate. So thank you everyone for coming out and supporting, as well as to all our candidates for doing a great job tonight. Again, if you have any questions for any of the candidates that you would like answered, their platforms and their contacts are available on the SGPS website. The election ballot will be released at 12:01 a.m. on Thursday, January 29th, and will close at 11:59 p.m. on Friday, January 30th. You will receive your ballot to your Queen student email from simplyvoting.com. If you do not receive a ballot, please email the elections team at elections@sgps.ca by 3 p.m. on Friday, at January 30th. We will do our best to resolve that as quickly as possible. So thank you again to everyone for coming out, and have a great night and a great dinner.
That's a wrap for the Society of Graduate and Professional Students All Candidates Debate. Once again, SGPS members are reminded that voting for candidates and student fees takes place on January 29th and 30th. Watch your Queen's emails for ballots and visit sgps.ca for more information about candidates groups and the elections process. SGPS members are also reminded that the Society did not receive nominations for SGPS Graduate Student Senator, Vice President Campaigns and Community Affairs, or Vice President Finance and Services. As such, a by-election will be held in the coming weeks to fill vacant spots. Watch your Queen's emails and follow SGPS on Instagram at Queen's SGPS to stay up to date with the latest in your student government's news and what's happening right now with the SGPS elections and referenda and the upcoming by-election. Thanks again for joining us here on CFRC 101.9 FM, proudly supporting Queen's student initiative since 1922. I'm Dinah Jansen.
What should you listen to make your Monday mornings that much better? Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM. We play all kinds of comedy, stand-up, sketch, songs, even poetry, and the occasional interview. Mondays at 10:30 a.m. Tune in or listen to Absolutely Frivolous on our archives page on cfrc.ca.
St. Monday watches over you and me and grants the bone exhausted some liberty.
Prefer tea or coffee? indie, folk, rock, electronic, I've got it all. Tune in to What's Brewing Tuesdays from 7:30 to 8 a.m. for the freshest Canadian music to pair with your morning brew. Listen in as I chat over a cup of something fresh and talk about my favorite new releases from Canadian artists that I love. Nothing like good music and good coffee to start your day, so tune in to see what's brewing.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
Tune in to Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9. Join your host, Arrow McCauley, for a free-flow show where words, ideas, and music mingle. Each week, we sit down with one of the local authors and artists leading writing workshops through the Word Labs program. They'll share their stories, their insights, and maybe even a few secrets of their craft. Get your pens ready. After the chat, you'll get writing prompts to stretch your imagination, all set to a soundscape designed to help you focus, relax, and create.
You're listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
And good morning. It is 7:30 a.m. here in Kingston, Ontario. You are tuned into CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca for those of you listening in through the web. We are located in the lower level of Carruthers Hall on the beautiful Queen's campus. My name is May, and you are now listening to What's Brewing. We're going to kick it off with Sauron and Daystar, released as a single on January 22nd. Sauron is a Montreal-based electro alternative artist. This is in anticipation of the upcoming album project Daystar, releasing February 27th. Writing about this track, Sauron says, "Daystar had told me about her past relationships and the way sometimes being so close to someone can lead you to forgetting who you are. This song is a mantra for people in a similar situation, and as a reminder, don't let anybody dim your light, don't let anybody close your eyes. It also embodies the feeling of meeting someone you deeply resonate with and feeling like your world shifts completely in that person's presence." After that, we have Laurence Castera with La Meunière. This was released as a single on January 20th. This is a Quebec City-based indie electro pop artist, also in anticipation of an album project with a no date set yet, but expected in spring. And this song explores the relationships to which we return despite everything, even knowing they hurt. So without further ado, we are going to kick it off with Sauron and Daystar right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. And welcome back. That was La Manière by Laurence Castera. Before that, we had Daystar by Sauron right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This is What's Brewing. Coming up next, we have Scrive with Vas avec Elle. This is off of the album Equinox, released January 15th. Scrive is a Montreal-based rap hip-hop artist. I believe this is the first project that they've put out, so I'm looking forward to seeing what else they have coming down the pipeline. And then after that, we have Witch Prophet with Words Are Spells, released as a single January 23rd. Witch Prophet is a Toronto-based queer East African singer-songwriter, pulls a lot of influence from hip-hop, jazz, and soul genres. I believe they described this song as more neo-soul direction. And this is in anticipation of the upcoming album Words Are Spells, Thoughts Are Magic, coming on March 18th. This track is fully self-produced, which I believe is a first in their discography, and Witch Prophet is a really incredible, interesting artist. I strongly recommend you check out the rest of their projects, the rest of their discography, and this album when it comes out. But without further ado, here is Scrive Vas avec Elle right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Le soleil se lève, ma main serait censée toucher la tienne, mais les rayons qui percent la toile dévoilent un lit dépourvu de toi. J'ai le goût de tes lèvres, encore imprégnées sur le bout des miennes, sur des millions de cœurs égarés dans la buée, je n'ai voulu que toi comme étoile. Et tu me dis que je suis distant, et j'avoue parfois je force nos disputes, c'est pas nécessaire que j'en dise tant, je te fais ce qui c'est la plus belle lutte. Et ouais, quand on se brusque, on s'éloigne et on se désire, la tension fait rugir nos deux cœurs en rythme, et l'on s'aimait, la passion du moment du pardon est si forte comme un amour qui débute. Toutefois, c'est à cet instant que je me sens coupable d'avoir été si bon acteur, quand elle a joué le jeu à son insu pour m'offrir cet innombrable moment de bonheur. Laisse-moi plonger dans l'eau de tes yeux, on pourrait s'allonger plus haut que les cieux. Laisse-moi plonger dans l'eau de tes yeux, on pourrait s'allonger, on pourrait s'allonger.
Regard vide à la gare quand le wagon de son cœur doucement part. Moi qui vivais seulement pour une valse avec elle, je ne voulais qu'une valse avec elle. Je m'égare et je me garde dans le parking de la peur qui s'empare de mes rêves et me sépare de ma valse avec elle. Je ne voulais qu'une valse avec elle, je ne voulais qu'une valse avec elle. Avec elle. Si le jour on se boude, la nuit je te serre dans mes bras. C'est vrai que l'on se soude de moins dans les hauts que les bas. Y'a pas que toi dans les courbes mes charmes, non. Mes hormones me parlent, mais je me ravise à ne pas faire couler tes larmes. Quand d'autres me regardent, ce serait tellement facile de ruiner notre histoire en une irrépressible pulsion au bord. Alors que le missile de l'ivresse est plus fort, quand dans mon lit on fait fusion le soir, elle avait défaussé l'un sublime corps. Des filles comme ça, y'en a des millions à voir. Je serais imbécile d'échanger de l'or quand tu recouvres mes lésions d'espoir. Laisse-moi plonger dans l'eau de tes yeux, on pourrait s'allonger plus haut que les cieux. Laisse-moi plonger dans l'eau de tes yeux, on pourrait s'allonger, on pourrait s'allonger. Regard vide à la gare quand le wagon de son cœur doucement part. Moi qui vivais seulement pour une valse avec elle, je ne voulais qu'une valse avec elle. Je m'égare et je me garde dans le parking de la peur qui s'empare de mes rêves et me sépare de ma valse avec elle. Je ne voulais qu'une valse avec elle, je ne voulais qu'une valse avec elle. Avec elle.
And you just heard from Witch Prophet with Words Are Spells. Before that, we had Voz Avec Elle by Sclave right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We're getting into our last few tracks of the hour. These are a little bit more rock direction. We're going to kick it off with Bless and Tragédie, which is released as a single on January 21st. Bless is a Montreal-based experimental indie rock group, and this is in anticipation of their upcoming album, which is coming out sometime in April, no definitive date. If you're interested in something a little bit sooner, they're playing Taverne Tour in Montreal on February 13th. And what they've said so far about the album is that they are now making the music that we've always listened to, the music we've always wanted to play without compromise. So I'm very excited to see the direction that they take with the rest of this album. After that, we have Vincent Cooney. Apologies if I mispronounce, with Deux Secondes. This was released as a single on January 22nd. Vincent is a Montreal-based dream rock artist with synth and electro elements, also known as the leader of the group Double Date with Death. And this is off of his upcoming EP Accident, coming out March 6th. And what he has to say about the track is 2 seconds, a breath, a silence, and nothing is the same anymore. A song about the fragility of time and those moments when life goes off the rails without warning. And finally, last but not least, we have Cam Cahin with Natsuko Miyamoto and Can't Hide From You. This is off of Cam's album Chug, which came out on January 23rd. Cam is a Toronto-based alt-punk artist who grew up in Dunville, Ontario, and Natsuko Miyamoto is a Japanese artist from the trio Mass of the Fermenting Dregs, or also known as Masudor, which is a post-hardcore shoegaze group founded in 2002. Another thing to note is Cam is part of the Exclaim class of 2024. I really loved this album, and I'm looking forward to see what the rest of his career has for him. So without further ado, getting into our last few songs, here is Tragédie by Bless right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
C'est un mélange étrange, merveille et mégot de la veille, un domino immense qui brille dans une flaque d'essence. C'est une mélodie d'avant, son écho résonne. La chante, je me réveille dans un labyrinthe. C'est ma tête qui m'empêche de te dire tout ce que je voudrais te dire. D'être honnête, si je peux l'être sans te faire fuir.
from you. Tried to meet the mark, I just fell apart. We raised cobalt connotations, can't discuss this heart. I thought I was dead, every now and then. Thought that's what you wanted, maybe that's just it.